I just wanted to spend a couple of Sundays. This is our third Sunday, and I'll finish out our eight today. But just as we step into our eighth year together, you and I, eight things that were in my spirit, eight things that I just felt passionate about as I was just praying over these services and hearing from God what He wanted us to speak and what He wanted you to know. And there are more than eight. In fact, there are many more than eight things that are important. And these are not in order. They haven't been in order of importance, but just things that matter to me right now, things that are in my spirit for you. And that's important because I believe these things are things that we can apply to our lives outside the church as well. You say outside? Well, yeah, outside, because I'm not just saved here, I'm saved out there as well. And I don't just worship here, I worship there as well. I'm not just whole in the church, but I'm whole outside the church as well, and loving and kind and all of that. Everything that we strive for in the church, we want to be that outside the church as well. So these are things that you can apply to your life. And I've been hearing from you the last couple of weeks, many of you applying with desire to apply these things to your business and apply these things to your home. And I love your feedback and am always thankful to know that the word is resonating and it's taking hold in your life. But let me just recap, because we've covered five of the eight so far, and we're going to catch the last three to finish eight out today. But so far, we have talked about passion. We have talked about imagination. We have talked about commitment. We've talked about spirit, and we have talked about relationship. All of those things so important. And any one of those literally could have had its own Sunday message, really its own series. But we've just been covering them quickly, just planting a seed and allowing that to grow. But I want to talk to you about the last three of those, and the first of those three, or the sixth of eight things that are important, is wisdom. Wisdom. I don't know if it was turning 50 a couple of years ago. Maybe it's 23 years of marriage that we just celebrated, and maybe it's a 20-year-old in college, an 18-year-old graduating high school, or maybe like Paul said, it's the care of the churches that I feel, but wisdom is more valuable to me than ever. I want to move in wisdom. In fact, I want to be allergic to haste. I want to be allergic to waste. I want to be allergic to peer pressure or popular opinion or thinking this or doing this because that's what the crowd is doing. I want to move in wisdom. I want our church to function and to flow and to make decisions grounded in wisdom. I want wisdom for you. I often pray for you by name. And yes, I ask God to bless you, but more important than blessing is to pray wisdom in your life, wisdom for your decisions, wisdom for your choices, wisdom for God's direction in your life. I consider one of the greatest insults, to be that was unwise. That was not a wise move. That was not a good move. Here's what Proverbs 8 and 11 says: "For wisdom is far more valuable than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare with it. Just as a precious stone will never be zero in value, wisdom is always valuable. In fact, the wise man said it's far more valuable than the value of a precious stone, a ruby, a diamond, some gold. Wisdom is so much more valuable because wisdom endures. Wisdom lasts. Wisdom will keep you from some things and will get you through other things. That's what wisdom does for us. Without wisdom, no one accomplishes anything of lasting value, and no one achieves greatness in any form. We need wisdom. In my opinion, one of the greatest tragedies of our current culture is that the young are not seeking the wisdom of the older. The only questions the young ask these days are gotcha questions. Trying to prove the old wrong, trying to discredit the older generation. And sadly, the older generation, they're not sharing their wisdom either. I'm not sure which came first. I don't know if the older stopped sharing and cultivating curiosity in the young, or did the older generation just tire of being disrespected and stop talking altogether? We got to work on that. We got to figure that out. Someone told me when I asked for your feedback and your thoughts about what you were passionate about, somebody said, respect. I am passionate about respect, and just that flows up and down. It's not just the young respecting the older, but it's the older respecting the younger. It's everyone being welcome at the table. It's everyone having their part and their place in the room. We need wisdom, and this is important to me as a father, as a husband, and as a pastor. I want to move in wisdom in all areas of my life. I when I think of wisdom, I'm reminded of the second grade student who raised his hand in class to ask a question. He said, What did I learn today? The boy asked his teacher as she was ending her lessons on addition and subtraction. And the teacher responded, "That's an odd question, Johnny. Why did you ask me that?" He said, "That's what my parents will ask me when I get home." You see, Johnny was learning a valuable lesson at a young age. The lesson that life is a continual, never-ending learning process. Because learning equals growth. Not physical growth necessarily. Second grade Johnny was automatically bigger than first grade Johnny. That's just natural. That's just normal. He's grown taller. He's gotten stronger. He's filling out. His facial features are changing. That is automatic growth. But hear me today. Mental, social, spiritual growth is not automatic. You may know somebody. You may see them this week at the family function, and you'll whisper to your favorite auntie. He may be grown, but he's still making foolish choices. She may be grown, but she's still acting like a kid. Because we may grow in stature, but not grow in mentality, not grow in spirit, not grow in maturity, not grow in wisdom. So when I look at our church, after 7 years. I can see we're larger. I can see we are bigger in number than we were 7 years ago. I can see that after 7 years we are stronger and all of that. But I wonder, are we more mature? Are we better equipped? Are we wiser? Because I want to move in wisdom. Proverbs 1 and 5 says, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Join me in making this confession today. Say this, say, I don't know everything. I'm just going to pause a minute because I know that was hard for some. Say it again. Say, I don't know everything, so I pray for wisdom. Lord, increase my learning and add good counsel to my circle. Today and every day, I want to move in wisdom. I want to move in wisdom. I want to have a wise church. I want to have church that makes good decisions, and right in line and in parallel and in tandem with wisdom is integrity. It's moving in integrity. It's handling your business. It's paying your bills. It's doing what's right. It's being honest in how you handle your affairs and how you transact business and how you do what it is you are called to do. I want to move in wisdom. I don't know everything, so I pray for wisdom. Lord, increase my learning and add good counsel to my circle. Today and every day, I want to move in wisdom. We move to number 7 today. The next word of 8 is generous. Generous. Let me preface this seventh of 8 things that are important. Let me preface with saying how proud I am of our church when it comes to generosity. We have come a long, long way in 7 years, a mighty long way. That said, 8 needs to be great. That said, it's time to mature in 8. It's time to go even further into greatness in this 8th year. This needs to be the year that we push. This needs to be the year that we get connected. This needs to be the year that we make commitments. This needs to be the year that we began our giving journey. If you haven't begun that in your life, you say, Pastor, I don't know if you've heard or not, but there's a recession. I don't know if you watch the news, but they talk about inflation. And we went grocery shopping yesterday, my mom and I, and just tooling around, you know, the prices are up. I mean, I don't know if you know this is happening. Yes, I know that. I've heard about recession. I've heard about inflation. Let me ask you a question. Have you heard about my Jesus? Yeah, because somehow with all this talk of recession and all of this talk about inflation, somehow the giving for the church Covington is up. Even with the talk of struggle, and even with the talk of tightening belts, and even with the talk of difficulty, generosity is up. But you know what? There's more up to be had. How do I know that? Because our percentage of givers compared to attenders is too low. That means the few are carrying the whole. And that's not God's will. You say, now hold on, Pastor Derek, your message was so good up until right now. Everything was going so good until you got to this point. Y'all knew I was gonna, you knew this was gonna be one of the 8. But I'm not ashamed to talk about this because I know what happens when we give. I know the difference that is made when we give. I know the strength that we walk in and the things that we are able to do when we are faithful to God. But it's not His will for a few to carry the whole. It's not His will for a few to carry the many. And I say that not even knowing who the few are. I choose not to know who gives. It's all documented. It's all covered. And there's a wonderful staff and elders and people that guard and guide and manage. I choose not to know because I want to love everybody regardless of whether they give or not. I know me. I'm petty. I'll side-eye somebody that's cheap. So I just love everybody. But at the same time, I understand obedience and I understand what God is calling us to do. And I understand, and hear me when I tell you, God has done so much in 7 years. One day we'll be able to tell it all. One day, maybe one day we can share the whole story. But I'm telling you, God has done great things in 7 years. But hear me, God has so much that He wants to do. God has so the vision is great and awesome. And if we can just be faithful to what God is calling us to do, there really is no telling just what the Lord will do if you and I will be obedient to His call on our lives. I love what Jesus said in Matthew 6 and 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's a real good gauge and a real spiritual indication of how you feel about money and how you feel about generosity. Giving is an indication of spiritual health. And God and you asked me to hold this position to guide and to guard, and that includes guiding and guarding, and it includes graduating our generosity. And I always feel like I need to qualify this because it never fails if I talk about giving at all. There's going to be a room full of guests, and all I know to tell you is that God wants you to hear this. But I always feel like I need to qualify because I'm not teaching this to enrich me. This doesn't change anything about how I live. It doesn't change anything about how generous this church or kind this church is to me or to my family. This isn't about me. This is about obedience. You say, but, Pastor Darrell, you don't know. And I know, I get it. We have so many buts when it comes to our finances. But here's what the word says. Proverbs 11, 24. The world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. So that means I have to determine my passion. I have to determine what really matters to me. I have to use my imagination. I have to get creative. I have to find out, hey, God, how do you want to do this? And how do you want to use me? And I have to make a commitment. And I've got to mix all of that with His Spirit. And I have to embrace generosity, because my world can grow so much larger. Your world can grow so much larger, from your bottom line to your blessing to your business to the abundance that God has for you. All of it is tied to our generosity. If you're a part of Church Cares, a food ministry, on Thursday was a big day. We feed people every single week on Mondays and Thursdays from 11 to 1:30. If you're in this house and you are food insecure or you're struggling at all, please, please come. Don't be ashamed. Don't be nervous. Allow us to bless you. Allow us to put a box in your trunk and help you get through this season in your life. But then we have some big days and some some great occasions where we're able to bless even more and bless even bigger. And the team was here all week, and the tab was literally turned into a food bank. It had spilled out everywhere. There was food everywhere, and boxes and boxes and boxes. And then those cars began to line up on Thursday, and they finally were losing count somewhere over 200. There were more than 200 families that drove under that portico on Thursday and getting boxes and boxes of food, and their Thanksgiving is a difference is made in their life. Why? Because people are generous and people want to make a difference, and people want to be a blessing. This church wants to be a blessing and make a difference in someone's life. That's why every time you give, there is money going out and money making a difference and finance helping people around the world. You know why? Because giving grows. When you plant seed, it becomes something. When you plant seed, it turns into more. I love the word generosity. Generosity is an interesting word, but I believe the word generosity is a more mature word than giving, because giving grows into generosity. Sometimes with giving, we almost have this mindset of, well, I have to do this. I mean, if I don't do this, if I don't give, you know, because I know it's the right thing to do, so I have to give. But giving versus generosity is that, well, I guess I have to do this versus I get to do this and I want to do this and I will do this because generosity has taken over my life and because God has put this in me. I have been blessed to bless. I don't know anyone. I don't think there's one single person that would come up to me after church and say, you know what? No, I don't want to be blessed. No thanks. Not one single person, every one of us want to be blessed. And the majority, we want to be blessed so that we can bless others, so that we can make a difference in someone's life, because that is the miracle of generosity. That is the miracle of giving and being a part of God's promise and God's covenant. And it's so easy to think that we are losing something when we give to God. But that isn't true. When we give to God, we are trusting Him. And it's a test every time we give. Because the temptation to hold, the temptation to keep, the temptation to say, you know what, I can't afford to do that this week. I can't afford to do that this month. I'm just going to hold on to this, and I'm just going to. It's so real to feel that. But you know what? That's small world thinking from the enemy. If we put God first, if we choose God first. That's the promise He made just a little further into Matthew 6. He said, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things, in other words, your world getting larger and larger, all of these things shall be added to you. And you know what? We practice this as a church. We put God first as a church. That sounds funny, I know, to say put God first. I mean, you're a church. You're supposed to do that because that's where He belongs. This isn't about you and I. This is not about, it's about Him. And you and I are the beneficiaries of His blessing and His goodness. How does that work? I've seen it work so many times in my life. You're sitting beside people. There's people sitting in front of you and behind you. And this is not about guilting anybody or condemning. No. You may not understand this or know this yet about God, that He will bless. Because again, I know we just get tight about money. When I was preaching on passion, y'all were just amening and waving your arms, and I get on generosity, and y'all just, what time did he say dinner is tonight? I was facing something. It's not been terribly long ago. I had this crazy situation happen with my leg, and it completely disrupted life. It completely interrupted everything. And I had a number of things scheduled, a number of things happening, and I was having to cancel my calendar outside of my responsibilities for the church Covington. I was canceling everything, and I had one date on the calendar, and when I called the pastor to cancel the date, to postpone and say, you know what, I just cannot do this right now. Everything is too hard and too difficult. And when I called, I ended up pivoting in the conversation because I felt the Lord saying, do not cancel this date. I want you there. And when I tell you, it was crazy, crazy set of circumstances. It was the first time I had preached outside of the wheelchair in 3 or 4 months. Jason West was on that ministry trip with me. He was trying to help me up some stairs. I fell trying to go up some stairs. It was Jason's fault. So rude. Scared him to death. He was scared to death. I'm just telling you, it was crazy, crazy. But I had this financial need in my life, and I had this circumstance that was going on. And all of it as a result of just me not being able to do what I normally would do and be where I normally was and just all of those things. You understand how life just interrupts sometimes and life just, it happens and here it was, it happened and I can't tell it all and there's too much to the story, but I'm telling you it was absolutely without a doubt the will of God that I was there that day and what God had put in my heart to preach and everything that was happening. And That story is too big and too much for this time. And I was getting ready to leave, and I know some of the team there, and the sweet secretary came and she handed an envelope to me and she said, Here, Pastor, wanted you to have this, and thank you, God bless you. I appreciate that. And she said, But I have another envelope for you because Pastor said to do this also. And I said, What are you talking about? Yes, here. I'm just telling you, inside that second envelope was the exact amount of money that I needed to cover the circumstance and the challenge. You say, wait a minute, how does that happen? That never happens to me. Folks, listen, I've never won anything calling into a radio. I've never scratched a lotto ticket. And won any, wait a minute, have I ever scratched a lotto ticket? I've never won any of that. I don't win stuff like that. None of that happens, but I'm telling you, everything that I am and everything I have is because God says, I'm gonna make a way in your life, and if you will be generous, I'll make your world larger and larger. And does anybody want your world to just grow larger? Does larger mean bigger cars? No. Does larger mean bigger? No. Larger means God's favor and God's blessing on your life. Father, I pray blessing over everybody in this room today. I want our world to grow larger and larger and larger. We try to practice practical generosity. A number of years ago, way back in the beginning of 7, we stopped doing random offerings in the church. It was my conviction, it still is my conviction, that we live and die by the generosity of the people that attend this church. The tithe. Everything you see here is because of someone giving, and it's all glory to God. But one time per year, we call it church Christmas. If you're new, you haven't heard me talk about this, but one time a year, we're going to give faithfully all year long. We're just going to be obedient, but one time a year, we're going to come at Christmas time and we're going to give an offering. And we've used those offerings. We have completely renovated Church Kids, and most recently we did a big refresh in our CY loft, and we've done lobbies and jumping into restrooms soon, but we've been working just to update, and just we did a whole new sound system this year and still building and working there, and cameras and somebody, this camera that with the red light on, this is several thousand dollars on this tripod. Someone in this church, I'm not even quite sure who, because they keep it a secret from me, but somebody right here donated this camera to us just a couple of weeks ago. Thousands of dollars sitting right there. Generosity. But we've done that, but I keep feeling up against this. It's not the right timing, because this year we wanted to build basketball courts in the Philippines for IMS Home, and their bill was about $8,600, and our church came together on Father's Day and gave about $7,000, maybe a little bit more than that, toward basketball goals, and our church cares made up the rest of that, and we sent a check for $8,600 to their account, and those kids are playing basketball in the Philippines today. It's exciting. It's wonderful. Your generosity did that. And I love church Christmas, but it isn't practical timing for us, because October is heavy, and then there's Thanksgiving, and we have toy drives. We intend to provide Christmas this season for more families than we ever have before, and we intend to bless single parents better and greater than we ever have before, and our Church Cares Food has plans to give turkeys and do the whole Christmas dinner like we did last year. And it's thousands of dollars that we invest into all of those initiatives. And so I don't feel comfortable asking you to give. I don't feel comfortable asking you to stretch. We'll do it at another time in the year, and we'll pray and figure out just exactly the right timing for us, and we'll find that better timing so that it is practical. But I'm looking for ways that I can be generous. Looking for ways. I had one of our seniors call me just not long ago, and they said, "Pastor, I've been doing some work on my will and just kind of cleaning up some stuff and just making sure everything is updated and everything is good." And they said, I had this other policy that I don't remember if they said they had forgotten about it, they just didn't realize they had it, but it was a smaller policy than their normal situation, just a few thousand dollars. But they said, I made the Church Covington the beneficiary of that policy. This is not something we've appealed to you. This is not something we've said, "Hey, here's a great idea, let's all do this." It was just somebody looking for ways to be generous. How can I be generous? How can I make a difference? How can I leave a legacy? It's not an idea that we had introduced. It's nothing we had appealed, but it's not a bad idea. It's a beautiful way to leave a legacy and to make a difference. Why? Because I want my world to grow larger and larger. And if our world grows larger and larger, then guess what? Our church will grow larger and larger in every way, numerically, and church cares and missions and a debt-free building. Somebody confess that. We want a debt-free building. Y'all, we've been paying on this building for like 24 years. Makes me mad. Is that all right? It's all right if I get mad about it. And again, it's a long story. But 24 years ago, the building was really too big and too much money for the church to afford then. I'm not calling anybody out. I don't know who all was a part of that decision. I'm just saying mathematically it didn't work. So you spend a few years just paying interest only. No principal. 24 years later, we still got like 1.4 that's just hanging around. If we could just knock it in the head, somebody sign over a will, somebody let's get this taken care of and knocked out so that we can do more ministry and we can make a difference and we can see God do great things. Does that sound like a good plan to anybody? Sounds like a great plan to me. Great plan. I'm asking God to send $1 million offerings, $100,000 offerings. Why not? Anybody believe God can do it? Let me give you one more. Last one, I'll make eight. We've got passion, we've got imagination, we've got commitment and spirit and relationship and wisdom and generous. But this last one, it may be the most important of all. Thankful. Thankful. The truth is, I can't preach you thankful. You just have to be thankful. I can remind you of reasons we should be thankful. And this holiday, it's always the right time of year. Come out of a challenging election season, and the world has just been at fever pitch. Weeks and weeks and months. And now we come to Thanksgiving and take a breath. Just relax a minute. Get a few days out of school, a few days out of the office, maybe a few days out of town. This holiday can put us in our thankful feelings, but I want to start this eighth year being thankful every day. Every week, every month, for all of God's blessings. Because when you think about it, being thankful is just another word for giving praise. When I'm thankful, if I think that Mr. Julius is a great guy, and I don't know how many hours he spent on the mower yesterday giving one final mow. I was in and out a couple of times yesterday, and he was on a mower. Then I heard he got stuck and was hanging in limbo in the ditch and was trying to call people, and somebody drove by and saw him and came to his rescue. Thank you for stopping, getting Mr. Julius out of the ditch. But this morning, before this service started, when I saw him in the lobby, man, thank you. The yard looks so good. If I just kept that thought to myself, I haven't praised him. And he's not doing what he does for praise. But he would admit, you know, I'm kind of glad when somebody recognizes my hard work. If that's how we move, just think how God feels when he keeps us and makes way for us. And blesses us and protects us. And if we live our lives just kind of, well, I mean, that's his job. That's what he's supposed to do, isn't it? No. Lord, I don't just think you're great. I want to say and announce and declare and with a loud voice in this house on Sunday morning, I want to clap my hands. I want to open my mouth to say, Lord, I am thankful. I am grateful. I am appreciative. Lord, if it had not been for you on my, Lord, you woke me up this morning. Lord, you put me on 2 feet. Lord, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for who you are. I'm thankful for what you've done. I'm thankful for what you are going to do. Is anybody thankful in this house? I'm thankful. I'm thankful. Just remain standing if you are. I'm thankful. My pastor said it years and years ago, and I've never forgotten it. It stuck with me. It took root in my heart, and I've never forgotten it. But he said, the root of all sin is unthankfulness. I've wrestled with that for years. I've challenged that and pushed back on that. But I just can't argue with it. If I can stay thankful. You know why? Because being thankful will keep you humble. Being thankful will remind you of who, what, and where you used to be. Being thankful will stop you from taking anything for granted. I'm thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. You may be saying, I don't know what God's will is for my life. Start here. Start with thanksgiving. Start with being grateful. Start with being thankful, not just to the Lord, but for people in your life. I want to move in thanksgiving. Philippians 4:6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Who's struggling with anxiety today? Who's feeling the pressure of life today? I rebuke it in Jesus' name, and I call thankfulness and gratefulness out of you to defeat the enemy's plan in your life. David said in Psalm 104, enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. You know what? In all thy getting, get wisdom. In all thy getting, get generosity. In all thy getting, get thankful. Is anybody thankful in this house today? Come on, there ought to be a voice of praise that goes out. There ought to be a voice of worship that goes out. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.